Roger and Marco in the morning.
First thing in the morning.
Every morning.
Live, 95.9.
All right, so much to talk about, so much to get into. We've got Dr. Jake McCandless in studio for the first time on the Slater and Marjo in the Morning radio show on Berkshire County's hit music station, 95.9. So, don't miss the exclusive interview. He drives around late at night in a Batman suit.
Or early in the morning, depending on how
Early in the morning.
Depending on how you look at it.
That's right, yeah. I meant to say, he gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's got the tires out there with the bat symbol, and he gets in his car. And okay. Now, you are in charge. So, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Yes, you were in the other room, and I...
It's nice to be on the cool side of the hallway rather than the new side.
You know, we like to think of this as the cool side of the hallway, too.
Yes. It's a different experience.
Tom's a little stiff. You know what I mean?
He's actually not in real life, but takes his news very seriously.
I believe that.
Takes his news extremely seriously.
Yes.
The superintendent of Pittsfield Public Schools, Dr. Jake McCandless, on the show. And, you know, it is wintertime. It's wintertime. And
we live in the Berkshires.
We live in the Berkshires. England. You know, and Marjo and I, along with a bunch of other networks, are responsible for reporting the school closing. So when schools close and the weather's bad or delayed or whatever, we go on 4 times an hour and run down that huge list.
Yep.
All right.
It's fun.
I grew up in Lynn, and it was amazing. It's obviously always done in alphabetical order, most likely. And then I'd wait to get to L. And once I heard my name, Lynn, oh, yes, go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much involved in the decision-making process.
There is.
Way more than I thought there was. So when you decide, what goes into the decision-making for you to close or have Pittsfield Public Schools operating under a 1 or a 2 hour delay? Where does it start?
So generally, you know, the state of weather forecasting these days is such that, you know, you have to, the nice thing is we get early warning on almost everything. The bad news is that it's often, you know, build up as the storm of the century and doesn't live up to its promise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we generally start when we know something's coming, we start the afternoon before and start looking at it. We tend to use, here in Pittsfield, we use the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association website.
Is that NOAA?
Yeah, the NOAA website.
Right.
We look behind the curtain here. I always go to BCC has an amazing weather blog.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Greylock Snow Day. I don't know who the folks are that do that, but
Greylock Snow Day. .com.
Everybody that is in high school knows it and probably has it bookmarked.
I think there's a website and a Facebook page.
It is. It's like a WordPress blog, you know, and then they have the Facebook page, and they are some serious weather followers.
Yes.
They kind of give a Greylock Snow Day confidence meter about, you know, is there a 70% chance you don't have school tomorrow?
Greylock Snow Day.
Yeah.
Wow, I never thought I'd become out of touch at 36 years old.
Well, you're
old,
I mean? So
yeah. I get it. Yeah.
If I didn't have children, I would be utterly, on my wireless trying to. But, so we start the afternoon before. We start looking at it. You know, it's generally our assistant superintendent for finance and operations, Kristen Benke, our bus director, who is Susan Donnelly Wendling. And we talk amongst our leadership. We look at, you know, we have 3 or 4 different weather things going. And then the real work starts. Sometimes, you know, we're checking in with other superintendents from other districts in the afternoon before. You know, we're looking at what our neighbors over in eastern New York are doing. They tend to call things the night before. We tend not to do that here in the Berkshires. But then, as you said, I wish it was a bat suit and a cool car. I'm sort of more sweatpants, flannel shirt.
So you're telling me that you actually get out of bed and into your car and you drive around the city and check the roads?
I do.
Wow.
That's commitment, ladies and gentlemen.
That is commitment.
Here's the thing. You know, there's close to 6,000 people depending on us to open up and have a school day. And the reasons they depend on us are, you know, for some, the primary, it's always about education, but oftentimes it's about childcare.
Yeah.
We have
food.
We have thousands of children that depend on us for breakfast and lunch, and some children that's really maybe it for the day. But you know, but their thing that everybody assumes is that we're going to operate safely during the day and we're going to be able to get people there safely.
So and this, home safely too,
And home safely that afternoon, which is, you know, another sometimes story altogether. Mm-hmm. So I do. I get up, you know, sweatpants, flannel shirt. Sometimes my dog comes with me and my
excellent
in my super cool old Subaru Forester.
See, that probably handles excellent in the snow, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, for sure.
It does.
My father-in-law's looking at a Subaru next weekend. Yeah.
My mother's on her fourth Forester.
So there's like me and my Forester and then, you know, 60 guys in big snowplow trucks.
I'm out there too with that hour, and Jake, if it makes you feel any better.
Well, and I will tell you.
Her dog's yellowing the snow right now.
So are the people that work at Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's, and there's an awful lot of people out at
hospital first responders.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're on the air on 95.9 talking with Superintendent Dr. Jake McCandless on why and how he decides to cancel or delay school in the city of Pittsfield when it comes time to snow. Now, here's my next question for you. Are you of the, first of all, do you ever get personal phone calls saying, why did you cancel school? Now I got to find someone to watch my kids. Shame on you. Do you ever get response like that?
Yes.
How often? Like a lot?
Every time we do a delay or cancel. It's not a lot, but there's always a few. And I actually, you know, the people that, you know, kind of have the opinion, well, it's New England, in case you didn't know, it snows here.
Yeah.
We totally get that. But, you know, as we're out driving, and usually Ms. Wendling is driving too from the bus garage, and sometimes Ms. Benke is driving, we're also talking to the Pittsfield police. We're talking to, you know, the parks department people that do plowing. We're talking to the city maintenance people, to the highway division that are doing plowing, and really trying to get just an idea of what are the conditions in all parts of the city. And in Pittsfield, we have to consider not only the driving conditions, but the walking conditions.
Right. How many walkers?
2,500.
2,500 kids walk to school.
A lot of kids walking to school.
Out of 6,000?
Out of about 6,000, I would say on some days we have 2,500. Obviously, on terrible days, we have people trying, you know, families trying to get rides. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, at our high schools, the high school students are like, and middle school students are like the U.S. Postal Service. It does not matter the weather; they are on foot, getting where they need to be. So you know, we have to consider walkers. We also have to consider we have hundreds of 16, 17, and 18-year-old drivers who haven't
never even thought of that, dude.
Yeah, don't have as much experience in the snow.
They don't have 20 or 30 years of experience on the snow, and you know they're learning. So, you know, there's a lot of factors, and every time we make a call, we know it is inconveniencing families. We know that we are keeping some kids from getting nourishment for that day. But, you know, at the end of the day, to me, and I think to all the superintendents in the Berkshires and beyond, you know, one accident where a child or a student gets hurt, where their families get hurt driving them to school, heaven forbid a bus accident where there's multiple injuries, one student dies as a result, and there's just you can't undo that.
Right, that's all it takes is one small. It takes better safe than sorry. Right,
it takes one and so we try to err on the side of caution, keeping in mind that it is an inconvenience to families, keeping in mind that there's a nutritional issue, and really just try to balance a variety of factors. And as we, you know, out at 4:30 and really by 5:30 or 5:45, we have to have a decision.
Right.
And the 2-hour delay versus a full day is really talking to the highway department about, is 2 hours going to get us to a point where we're safe?
Right.
I see.
And sometimes, occasionally, it is because of the timing of the weather. And sometimes it's just not. And sometimes we look at, with a 2-hour delay, we may be safe, but then we're going to run into trouble with students coming home.
Right. Which I think was kind of the case on Tuesday, right? Because we weren't sure. Yes. You know, we knew there was going to be some bad weather in the afternoon, evening. We weren't really sure when. And
yeah.
We're talking to Dr. Jake McCandless, superintendent of Pittsfield Public Schools, on his decision, the reasoning of why and how to or cancel school during snow. Now, or cold temperatures. I want to get to that in a couple seconds, too.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion that schools do get closed quicker now than they did back in the 90s when I was in school.
Have to agree with you.
No question.
Is that a fact?
I grew up in western Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half north of Pittsburgh, an hour south of Erie. I think we had two snow days the entire time my brothers and I were in school. There's no question. But I also think, compared, at least in the Berkshires, compared to the old days, there's just none of our schools was built for all of the traffic that we have in terms of cars. When you think in the 90s, I graduated from school in the late 80s. Parents just by and large did not drive their kids. You took a bus or you walked or you drove if you were old enough.
Or families only had one car.
Exactly. Right. So, we have so many more cars out. Anybody that's waited in line for a pickup at any of our 12 schools can tell you this place was not designed for 200 cars.
Yeah, I avoid PHS at all costs.
Of course you do.
During certain hours, just that whole general area of downtown East Street area.
So, And I also think there's a piece of it. I think we're a much more litigious society than we were in the 80s and 90s. And I think, sort of the notion of, and I know this as a parent myself, the notion of suck it up and get to school, kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we've just sort of changed our view a little bit, that it's like, you know what, if it's, and I always tell parents when I get the calls myself, mm-hmm. to say, and I tend to get these on days where people think we should have called it and didn't, and they're like, well, you clearly don't care about the safety of my child because our street. And I totally get that. And my response is always, as a parent, if I think it's too bad to send my kids, I'm not going to send my kids, irregardless of how the superintendent
feels. Make that call as a parent first.
We make the call when we are when our children are sick, we make the call when we maybe want to go on vacation for a couple of days and pull them out of school. And on days when we do have to cancel, we do apologize for the inconvenience, but I am hired to keep kids safe.
Dr. Jake McCandless on 95.9 about determining factors of when to close school or delay them 2 hours. Now, back when I was growing up as a little girl, we had... We had 1 hour delays. Does that still exist?
I will tell you, we
do away with them.
I don't believe they're even still in our contract. We have a 2 hour delay and we have a full day cancellation. When I was a kid, we had 1 hour delays as well.
Yeah, same here.
It seems to me that with the miles of roads that all of the road crews in every community have to cover, an hour just does not do that much.
Yeah.
And on most days, a 2 hour. I look at the snow day we had this week on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Noah was saying that type of weather was going to continue until noon or 1 o'clock. And we thought, okay, we're not going to be able to get kids to school, and we're going to struggle to get them home.
Right. Noah is not a person. It's NOAA.com.
That's right. That's right.
Noah.
Thank you.
Noah was saying,
thank
right.
you. And in reality, it kind of wrapped up by, 9 o'clock, 9:30. So a 2 hour delay. But we also have to remember, our buses, to get kids to Pittsfield High School for a 7:25 start, the buses are really starting to pick up kids at about 6:15.
Now, one time school was canceled, and Slater did not believe me, that I said it's because it's so cold that the buses don't start if it's below a certain temperature.
That's
and he didn't believe me.
That's my next question. Yep. I didn't believe you, and not like in a malicious way.
You were just like, what? Yep. I was like, no, that's a thing.
Is there an inch of snow, like determination of like, if we got four, closing it?
No, it's really road conditions.
Okay,
It's road conditions, sidewalk conditions, and just sort of getting all the data we can get from the people that are actually out in it, i.e. the police and the snowplow folks, and asking, what do you think?
What about a temperature? Is there a temperature limit? If it drops below 3 degrees, we're canceling it.
So we tend to, we started my first year here, we kind of jokingly refer to it as the Polar Express. That when we get to 20 below, and that's not a straight 20 below, that's with wind chill.
Yeah.
When we get to about between 15 and 20 below, we add the Polar Express buses, which is about a half a dozen extra buses that pick up kids that are generally walkers.
Yep.
When we get past 20 below, then we really start talking about is it safe to be at a bus stop for, you know, more than 2 or 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to walk? And in all honesty, and your memory is actually really good because you jogged my memory. The first year we bought our new buses,
which was when 2 years ago,
I think it was 2 years ago. Right. We, you know, the additive that is supposed to go in the fuel to keep the diesel fuel from gelling up, early in the year, it was not there. We had to cancel because we could not start the buses.
Yep.
So, you know, if the buses start when it's cold, we would have to be pretty cold to cancel school altogether.
So you said the additive did work in starting the...
It worked once it was in.
Okay, like a dry gas type?
It's an additive that our fuel company that we contract with puts in. And,
are you familiar with dry gas? I used to put dry gas in my old car.
Yes. A small little bottle.
Yeah. And I don't know if...
It was almost like alcohol or something like
that.
Yeah, it was ethanol or something.
You know, but there's something different that goes into the...
Right.
You know, I don't pretend to understand the science of it, but it wasn't there. And the first time out when it was really cold, it wasn't there.
How many Pittsfield Public School buses are there?
We actually own... I believe 52 or 53, and we actually run about 48 on a daily basis.
Do you ever get the seatbelt question?
All the time. And there's no question. So we own our own bus fleet.
Yep.
This is their third year in operation. Mm-hmm. It's about $12,000 a bus to retrofit them with seatbelts.
Yep.
The research on seatbelts has been for 50 years. They do more harm than good. I think particularly after this tragedy in Tennessee
earlier this school
year, even the people, the scientists that study this are saying, well, let's take a look at it. 50 years of research maybe is outmoded. Let's look at the place of them now. Now, I think the recommendation would be that you're better off to have seatbelts. So it's certainly something we are exploring. It's certainly something that when we start replacing this fleet of buses, that will be present in the specifications that we want every seatbelted.
I mean, how long do buses last? They must last a good while, right? I mean, these still look brand new to me when I see them.
Yeah, they do. The challenge with buses is a 10-year-old bus can appear very new. It's really what the maintenance starts to cost you.
Right.
The hardest thing about buses is the brakes.
because
they stop 150 times.
Right.
A trip. Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
You know,
much more than just, you know, even if they're only driving 5 miles, they're starting and stopping way more than the average car would in 5 miles.
There's 20 stops.
Totally makes sense.
And, you know, another thing that was different from, you know, the 70s and 80s people like me, the 90s or 2000s people like you all.
He meant me for 2000s and you for 90s, by the way.
I was trying to. I was raised right.
Yeah.
So,
yes, exactly.
You know, we used to. You know, people comment all the time. Wow, you know, we used to have to walk a half a mile to our bus stop.
Oh, yeah.
Now the bus stops at everybody's front. You know, which is not true. But there are more bus stops. You know,
we
there's an awful lot of Pittsfield that doesn't have sidewalks. It's just not safe for kids to walk to a bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the wear and tear on the engines and the transmissions and the brakes from the stopping and starting.
Well,
so it's really more about hours than even miles for school buses. So we will probably, in order to get a good value for trade-in for our buses, we start looking at about year 4 or 5 to start rolling over about 10 a year.
How much is a school bus?
It's about $80,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
The fire trucks are have problem with their undercarriage, so they have the firemen come up with a bidet for the. can we get bidets for the school buses? No,
we could see about that.
Yeah, maybe. Why not? Slater's volunteering to clean the underbellies of the of the school buses.
All right, I think that this has been an excellent conversation. I feel like I keep you here for the next 40 minutes talking about everything that has to do with Pittsfield Public Schools. And we're out with Dr. Jake McCandless on 95.9. It's 10:22, and we're talking about the decision and reasons why school gets closed. What are the factors? Everything that goes into it, because a lot of people, you know, call us up in the morning. You even get emails yourself. Why did you close school? Blah, 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 blah. You know, they're just general or ingenuine concerns, you know, from parents. And I, you know, me being a new parent, I understand that now.
Yeah.
So, and I just real quickly wrap up with the new Taconic. I see the shape of it forming. I drive down Valentine Road a lot. It's yeah. I live near here. And it looks good. You know, they put the final beam on there, and you know, we had Mayor Tyre on here. We're asking her, eventually, will the two schools combine? And I think she said maybe. Or maybe no, we don't know yet, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to put words in her mouth, certainly, but
it's really going to be a function of, you know, Berkshire County as a whole. We've lost about 25% of our student population in the last 15 years. You know, I'm glad to hear that you're a young father, that you're doing your part. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yes.
One
you know,
and done.
It's,
Go Richmond Public. No.
It's, you're doing your part for Berkshire County Schools. Yeah. You know, there, we will perhaps reach a time where the critical mass of students is such that it really makes sense to start looking at should we be, you know, on one campus.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of factors that if you're sitting in the diner talking about this and thinking, you know, this is a no-brainer, I could come up with about 20 things off the top of my head that you probably haven't considered that would make
it. It's not a black and white.
To keep them separate? Yeah.
Yes, to keep them separate.
Okay, cool. You know, I like, so, you know, I mean, I grew up in Lynn. There was always a huge rivalry between, you know, the two major high schools. I mean, I know Lynn is double the population of Pittsfield, but anyway, all right, so that the school will be open in the beginning of September 2018, right?
September of 2018.
Right.
It's you know, we're hoping that in you know, it really work has been ongoing now for about 10 and a half months. It's amazing how quickly it's come along.
It really has.
Even the students find it remarkable when they think about it that, you know, this time last year, soccer field, parking lot, big chunk of ledge with rock or with trees on top of it, and a softball field, and now there's a school taking shape. You know, we're hoping that in March, April, we're at a point where we can start, you know, maybe doing some tours of what the inside's going to shape up as. And
awesome.
Very exciting.
We will go Facebook Live for sure.
Knew you were going to say that. We'll be there.
I'm a huge advocate for high school radio. It's where I got my start. I knew I wanted to do this ever since I was a kid growing up. Could you comment on WTBR in the future? Or?
Sure. You know, so WTBR, you know, we do not have plans. We do not have a space for it in the new building. It's just simply something that absent a formal educational program, the Mass School Building Authority said, sure, you can build it, but it's all on your own dime.
Slater's going to fork over the money for
so,
it.
We're
going to
call
it WSLA.
The Brian SLA.
It's gonna be like that.
The Brian Slater Radio Studio,
I'll spring for a plaque if you'll
finance the studio.
Space.
Appreciate
but,
it.
But we're actually working with several community partners that WTBR will continue to exist. It will continue to be something that you know, students can take advantage of and learn the ropes and see if that's a career path for them.
Cool.
It likely will not be housed at Taconic High School, but it will still be WTBR.
Right, because the license still exists, right?
Yeah, and the license is owned by the Pittsfield School Committee. It is, you know, to me as a lover of radio, and I think the many in our community, it's has almost no monetary value. We're the school committee to decide to sell it. It's educational license.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it has tremendous value for being a communications tool for the good of our community. And so we're really working with some partners to see, you know, where can we have space on somebody's tower? How can we manage this professionally?
Will it go off the air at all for a little while?
That's to be determined. We hope not.
Right, because I think there's a FCC has a rule you can only go dark for a little while.
Yeah, and I think WTBR probably over the last decade has violated that rule a time or two, and we would like not to violate that again.
Yeah.
Right, I think the penalty is you just simulcast 95.9 on there.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the an exclusive interview with Dr. Jake McCandless from the Pittsfield Public Schools, the superintendent, and is deciding whether or not to close school. Is that the worst part of your job, or
we were talking about that before we went on air, and I think a lot of retired superintendents sort of half jokingly, half not, that it's one of the hardest parts of the job. It's just
a seasonal function of the job is the hardest.
It puts you up for so much scrutiny from people, and
the stakes are
high.
The stakes in everything we do are high, but I mean this is not much of what we do is life or death. This could literally be life or death. You know, and including for we have staff members that live in Connecticut and Vermont and New York State. You know, and you know, we're very honored to serve the community's children and children from other communities. And you know, I really take seriously, and we all do, that commitment to, you know, our role starts the minute you leave for school to keep your child safe. The minute you get on a bus, the minute your child's out on the street walking, and it's kind of an exhausting, you know, you have a week two like we've had here and you're up most mornings. And so I hope people, I always welcome people calling with the, what were you thinking? Either way, it's always good to talk to people. And at least,
how do we get in touch with you?
You know, jmccandless@pittsfield.net.
Gotcha.
Our phone number for our office is 499-9512.
You want to give out your cell phone number? No. No. Just kidding.
Marjo's going to prank you.
I could give you my children's cell phone number, because they're the ones that get inundated. The anytime there's snow in the forecast, my children are...
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey,
tell your dad to cancel.
Do they try to bribe you at
all? Tell your dad to cancel.
Yeah, dude. They probably... Yeah. They try to bribe them.
We've told a couple of kids that we're close to that, you know, if I'm for sale, it's not as cheap as you're thinking.
Yeah.
But it is. My kids get flooded. And
that's funny.
And so it's maybe the hardest part of the superintendent's job. It's maybe the worst part of the being a kid of a superintendent's job.
Never even thought of that, dude. Yeah.
Very funny.
He's got the codes. You know what I mean? 10:30 in the morning. Thank you very much,
Dr.
Jake.
Yeah, we know you're busy.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
No, it was a pleasure.
Making time for us.
It was an extremely quick half an hour. I didn't plan on being on that long, but it continued to go. What's that Greylock thing, the website, one more time?
Greylock Snow Day.
Greylock Snow Day.
I can't be one of the superintendents that pretends I don't read it, you know?
We applaud your honesty.
I'm happy to be public about somebody from Greylock Snow Day watches the weather really closely. They know what they're talking about, and it's cool. Really interesting.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
again,
you.
We commend you.
Thank
10:30.
You.
Hi, this is Marjo Catalano from Live 95.